even coronavirus can't keep us apart. Because we love you so much. From all of us at Bashani Radio app, stay safe.
Stay safe.
Stay home.
Stay home.
And keep us blasting on your phones. Bashani Radio app, always talking about everything. Download us free in the App Store. Kaboom! You heard?
Before we get to the episode, as I have been planned, there's been some things going on that I wanted to address. And this week's episode, interviewing Ben Original, the publisher of Urban Magazine, is very relevant to this conversation around civil rights, humanity, and police brutality. Because this is the Jazz and Tech Lounge, I prefer the music of the artist Jasmine Stubbs to speak, or Jazz Star to speak for me today. And I would like to dedicate this episode of the Jazz and Tech Lounge to the memory of Sandra Bland, George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, Trayvon Martin, and to us family as we mourn the senseless deaths that have been taken.
Hi, my name is Jazz Star. I'm 22, and I will be singing an original called Sandra Bland. Is it bitter? Is it sweet, sweet? Is it bland? Is it bland, bland? Tell me, is it bitter? Is it sweet, sweet? No, is it bland? Is it bland? Strange fruit hanging from a plastic bag, loose, that don't sound right. Then they call it suicide, like she ain't got no sense of pride. My people ain't no fooling weep. Eyes open, eyes shut, they gon' see. Open or they shut, they gon' see. Is it bitter? Is it sweet, sweet? Is it bland? Is it bland, bland? Tell me, is it bitter? Is it sweet, sweet? No, is it bland? Is it bland? Tell me, do you believe this shit? Hell no, they keep getting away with the same things. Sandra would be turning in her grave if we all just shut up and behave. Silence is a new slave. Silence is a new slave. Slave, say it now. Silence is a new slave. Silence is a new slave. Slave, slave, slave. Is it bitter? Is it sweet, sweet? Is it bland? Is it bland, bland? Tell me, is it bitter? Is it sweet, sweet? No, is it bland? Is it bland? Is it bland? Don't you know that I am a human too? Don't you know that I ain't no different from you? Don't you know that I got a family at home? How am I the criminal when you're the one holding the gun? Don't you know that I am a human too? Don't you know that I ain't no different from you? Don't you know that I got a family at home? How am I the criminal when you're the one holding the gun?
This is David Spradley, and you should check out Z, the SEO queen.
Do you have an online business or want an online business but lack the team or the expertise to get on Google page one? Did you know that 33% of all Google search traffic clicks the first result only? Do you want to get more traffic to your website, social media profile, or just want your video to get more hits or go viral? Well, you need to contact the SEO Queen Digital Marketing Agency, where you are more than just a number. You can't lose with the SEO Queen. More visibility, more credibility, more profitability. Visit theseoqueen.net for more information. That's theseoqueen.net. theseoqueen.net. That's theseoqueen.net. That's theseoqueen.net.
This is David Spradley, and you're listening to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z.
Hello, this is Lady Z, the violinist. I'm coming to you because I want to encourage you to get your copy of Elevate. It's available on Apple Music and iTunes, Amazon, and Google Play. So if you're listening to this on your computer or your cell phone, whether you have an Android or an iPhone, you can get your copy of this song, this show's theme song, by just going to Apple Music, Amazon, or Google Play and get it today. I appreciate your support. Thank you.
Welcome to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, a podcast about the secrets to success in technology, music, and business. On Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes, Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z on any mobile phone or tablet device. The Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, where we explore tech and enjoy the music and learn the secrets to music and technological success. Please follow us online at www.ladyvhe.com and all social networks at LADYVHE. Please pull out your phones and follow me on Instagram. And today's guest is an entrepreneur, a writer, businessman. In the late 90s, he began publishing an online newsletter entitled The New York Underground while interning at Stress Magazine. 6 months later, he had the opportunity of a lifetime fall into his lap. And one phone call led to a successful career in journalism that spanned nearly over a decade. He was an editor for The Source Magazine. And the editor for The Source Magazine needed someone who could get on the phone with Ludacris and complete the assignment. However, even with all the clout and privileges writing offered, he was not satisfied. Having studied the music industry since his teenage years, he was far from content. As the Source Magazine started its downward spiral, he became a contributor to the rival hip-hop magazine XXL, the newly launched King Magazine, Vibe, and several online portals, including allhiphop.com and Yahoo Music. In 2001, Ben Original launched his online media outlet, Urban Magazine. Though originally launched as an additional revenue source and promotion tool for the magazine through UMA Marketing and Advertising, he landed lucrative licensing and developmental deals with various major brands, including American Greeting Interactive and Def Jam. I could go on about this phenomenal writer. And man, let me tell you, I've been following him online for quite some time, and you have to check out his podcast with Dakari called The Bigger Picture. He is quite in tune with the music industry and just the culture in general. And I'm looking forward to introducing to some and presenting to others Ben Original. How are you today?
I'm outstanding. I love that intro. I love the research. That's what's up.
Well, you know, I love the opportunity to talk to people I admire, and my podcast is just an excuse for me to have a conversation, extended conversation, and be nosy, because that's what I like to do. So,
thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for accepting my invitation. I know you're so busy. So usually I go back, but you mentioned online your new issue of Urban Magazine is slated to come out. And what has happened today with the
Over the last 24 hours, we received a DDoS attack, which I believe is motivated because we're featuring Ahmaud Arbery on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
Of the May issue. So I think that there's some people out there on Facebook or on the internet, some internet weeds that, you know, that are deeply offended by, you know, over the last 24 hours, we received a DDoS attack on the Urban Magazine website that we believe that is, that was inspired by the fact that we're featuring Ahmaud Arbery on the cover of the May issue. And all they did at first when I put it up, the cover was really just a concept cover.
Uh-huh.
But since they decided to attack the site, I'm just might as well just go ahead and put it out as the official cover of the magazine now, because, you know, I probably lost a good, from 5 o'clock in the morning till now,
uh-huh.
I probably lost a good 8 hours. So since they attacked the site, might as well just go ahead and put it out now.
Right.
It's been a rough morning. It's been a disappointing morning. But they got it back up. The site is back up now. We added some more protection to it, so we're good.
Yeah, I'm glad, you know, when I spoke to you, I'm glad that you were able to add, to fortify your website. Because in addition to being Lady Z, I'm also the SEO queen, and building websites and securing them is one of the things that I do. So I was glad to hear that you're taking all the great necessary steps. Now, you know, when it comes to journalism, and especially, you know, when you talk about music, and culture and message music, do you think that it's still relevant? Like the whole like Marvin Gaye approach to music, do you think that's still relevant today, that artists need to, you know, have a mind for, you know, addressing issues of today like you're doing with your magazine in their art?
Well, I think it's important that the art reflects the, you know, the lives of the people around it. So with all the gimmicky stuff that people are putting out there, I think that having organic music or especially socially conscious music is important, because that keeps the authenticity. You know what I'm saying? That messaging is very powerful, and it helps keeps the, you know, I would say, keep the bullshit to a minimal, so you could separate the two. While I do understand that it's the entertainment industry, and I do understand that people in listening to music are looking for escape, but at the same time,
The authenticity of
it's good to have socially conscious music and things that, you know, without the gimmicks and stuff like that. So it's important to have both. It's important to have both. I think that, you know, with the magazine, you know, I think that other media outlets do all the gossip and all that stuff, and that's cool. I'd rather give our readership real content. I always say that Urban is, you know, Urban as a magazine is made for people who actually read. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Who want to be informed about not only music, but, you know, what is really happening in the world.
Right. You know, I think it's important that, you know, I learned from when I was writing for The Source. The Source had a very cultural section. And it was always great content in the cultural section. And I remember asking the editor at the time, you know, why is it such a small section? And he said that because, you know, if we make the whole magazine completely conscious, nobody would want to read it. So you had to give them doses of consciousness and social responsibility surrounded by something, you know, the things that appease their appetites in other ways, you know?
Right.
So with Urban, I just decided to focus on the consciousness part. I mean, we break artists, we break actors, we you know, Black Hollywood shows us a lot of love. So we give it's well-rounded. It's just, you know, you're not going to find anything about Tekashi in Urban Magazine. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my goodness. You know, so, you know, when I was like, I really like wasn't curious about Tekashi, but I think YouTube suggested one of his videos. I watched it, the newest one. And then I started reading about him. And I mean, he basically is like the manifestation of a figment of his own imagination. I mean, he like literally like willed his persona into existence, which from just like a mental standpoint, you know, a mindset standpoint is incredible. But, you know, everything that has come with that is kind of like cringeworthy, you know?
I agree. At this time, in our culture, we have to really be careful of the things that we applaud, because the messaging is very powerful.
Yeah, you know, I can't applaud. I mean, the objectification of women, and you know, and the violence, and the just the, as an artist, from an artist standpoint, like I'm not into all of that.
Right. Yeah, right. I think. You know, like Tekashi's whole gimmicky, you know, it's a, you know, whether the people in the gangs or not realize it, that, you know, Tekashi was a mockery to all that.
Right.
But because, you know, his cash flow from his record deal and, you know, his music income, mm-hmm. they were willing to overlook all that.
Right.
Just so that he can, so that they can benefit financially.
Right.
So, you know, do I feel sympathetic for those guys that are locked up? Not really, because you know the boy wasn't built like that. He wasn't built to carry that burden, that the weight of that. You know.
I think that he's not ready to reap, and now he's in too deep.
No, definitely. I agree.
Good money.
Hey, listen, I'm not hating. The hustle is the hustle. Take everything that comes with it. No, you got to take everything. I know recently his new address was revealed online. And he had to pack up everything and move.
I think he had it twice in 1 week.
Yeah, see, tough guys don't move. They don't have to.
Right.
They don't have to, you know. Everybody's tough until they get punched in the face or something. It's a totally different game.
Right. Exactly.
But I think that we as the culture, we have to maintain some kind of integrity control over the culture.
So speaking of integrity and control of culture, I read a book called Culture Vultures by you know who. I don't know if you remember hearing about this book.
Yeah, I know who.
Yeah, I'm not gonna name no names, but
that's my guy. That's my guy.
Yeah, I actually had the pleasure of meeting him, and well, before Corona, when we were going to the Merge conference and all these other music industry conferences, I got to see him on the main stage talk about what he talks about. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I feel like he's one of the most controversial figures executives in hip hop. What are your thoughts about Dame Dash?
Yeah, of course. I interviewed Dame, I think, for the last year, the April issue of 2019.
Uh-huh.
He was a cover story. I interviewed him. That's my guy on many levels. I respect Dame's fearlessness.
Mm-hmm.
While I do not think that is his approach to industry stuff, is it really the best way to go about that? Not necessarily. I disagree with his approach. I do respect his fearlessness, that he's 100%, 1,000% authentically himself. I do respect that.
Right.
The history of it all shows who had the best business acumen out of the two.
Out of him and Jay.
Out of him and Jay. You know?
Jay-Z, yes.
Yeah, so, you know, is business acumen over just...
I think the biggest difference I see between the two of them is, a couple of differences. One is more emotional than the other. And I think the other one, another one is a little bit more ruthless than the other.
Well, I think that Dame is in your face. Dame is in your face, and he's unapologetic. Jay-Z is a little more strategic about it. You know?
He's much more reserved. For me, when you think about the role of emotions in business, I get the impression that Dame brings more of his emotions to the table than Jay-Z has.
Yeah. Well, I think Dame is very passionate.
Mm-hmm.
He's
mm-hmm.
very passionate. He's 100% sincere. He's very passionate about his business, about
right.
the things that he believes in, which is great. Which is great to be passionate about it.
Mm-hmm.
But you also gotta be both passionate and functional.
Right. And effective. Passionate and effective.
Right. And you know, like one would say like with Dame did the egg come before the chicken? Dame is a rebel.
Mm-hmm.
He's an outsider. Mm-hmm. One would say now
it wasn't always that way, though.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Always that way.
Well, the thing about the industry, guys like Irv Gotti, guys like Dame that project that kind of brashness.
Mm-hmm.
The moment that it's not lucrative to do business with you, they're not going to do business with you.
Right.
You know, they, for better or for worse, they would rather do business with somebody that they can sit down and talk to as opposed to somebody that they feel they have to fight with. Now, you have to pick your battles. But I think that in the case of guys, you know, these guys, you know, Dave Chappelle used to have that when keeping it real goes wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I think those guys are an example of what happens. It's not about keeping it real. It's about how you choose to keep it real.
Yeah. And you know, it's about your message, when you put it out, and how you put it out.
Right. I mean, I think I'm as fierce, I don't know, from the outside looking in, I think I probably come across very straightforward and very brash. I could be brash at times, but
I don't think you come across brash. I think you just come across like down to earth and to the
That's because you're an executive. People on the executive side, they get it. The people that are not involved in the industry, they might come across a little heavy handed at times, but it's honest, you know, it's honest. I think that because I tell people when they're wrong, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I tell people when they're wrong. I tell people when they violate norms and stuff. Because as a rule in this industry, people don't always tell you when you're wrong. When you make a mistake,
if people will laugh behind your back and make fun of you. I had an experience with a producer that I paid money to, and I found out that this person really had no intention of really finishing the project.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. Now, see, to me, I would put somebody like that on blast because it's a lesson for other people to learn. Hey, that's what we do. I mean, I believe in accountability.
I do too. I think there's a whole lot of unnecessary nastiness in the music industry. Unnecessary.
Well, I think there's very, in this industry, there's definitely very bad people who are empowered, you know, and, you know, I think that even in my messaging on social media and stuff like that, I appreciate all the nice things you said. I really do appreciate that.
That's from the heart.
But I think that it's also important. I think it's also important to be honest with people. I think that, you know, rather than laugh at how somebody's bad pitch or something like that, I try to make it a teachable moment. You know, and mm-hmm. and if they're not willing to learn the lesson, then, you know, I use them as an example for other people to learn from. You know, sometimes if we don't learn the lesson, we become the lesson.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, mm-hmm. you know, but I think that it's important that we hold each other accountable. I mean, certain things are clearly unacceptable. I think the industry does, but the industry does have its share of bad people.
Right.
Everybody in this game is not sweet. Everybody in this game is not going to look out for your interest. I think that we as a people, because of our culture, we're a very loving people.
Yeah.
And I think that because when we bring that into business, it's going to lead to disappointment. It's going to lead to some conflicts.
Right.
You know,
we can
if Clive Davis dropped somebody, Clive Davis and those guys, they could drop people all the time and it's not a big deal. But if Diddy dropped somebody or Jay-Z dropped somebody, mm-hmm. it becomes problematic because there's this familiarity with the artist as opposed to being strictly a business decision. And in fact, I think that if you look at Jay-Z's Rock Nation, you see that Jay-Z was what he did with Rockefeller.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Rockefeller, guys like Beanie, Memphis Bleek, all those guys, they were family to him. Whereas the people who are part of Rock Nation, he treats them like their artists. He treats it like it's business with them.
Right.
Now, he might take some personal interest in like Meek Mill and some others, but at the end of the day, it's still not the same camaraderie that he had with the people when he was at Rockefeller.
Right.
Because he realized that, you know, when guys like Beans gets mad, when Beans goes to prison or goes to jail ample so many times, mm-hmm. and he's looking at you to keep bailing them out and all these other things.
Yeah, that's problematic.
It's because you guys, because under the familiarity of friendship.
Right.
Whereas if you treat the artist like he's a straight up artist.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's important. I think that it's very important to maintain that integrity. But yeah, if you want to share your story with that producer, I'm with it.
Yeah, I you know, I've been going back and forth on what I was going to do about it. So,
I mean, sometimes you just, you know, sometimes you just want to educate people to how to move because this is like any other business. There are wolves in this business. There's people, you know, these people, you know, they're out to get. I mean, Yeah, I mean, there's people out here that there's savages out here. You know,
so I have a question for you. What's like the biggest scam you've come across in the music industry? Like, I've been getting these ads. I don't know if you've gotten these ads on Facebook lately since this whole quarantine happened, but Coast to Coast mixtapes, they want you to pay like $300-$400 to play from your house on Facebook Live to whatever audience.
I mean, you know, the Coast to Coast mixtapes, there's another guy, I won't put his name out there, but there's another guy that's out there that, you know, they're all dirty. I feel like this. I advise people to do their research.
Right.
From Coast to Coast mixtapes to some of these other similar brands that do the same thing. The question that you got to ask these people is, what are the results?
Right.
What are the results? Some of these guys are out here charging these artists $400 or $500 to, before the pandemic, $400 or $500 to meet A&Rs. But what are the results? You know, you take some kid from Columbus, Georgia, and you charge them $400 or $500 to come to New York to meet Success, the A&R from Atlantic Records. But what are the results?
Right.
He gets to come to New York and take a picture at the Atlantic Records lobby in front of the logo. He meets the A&R for about 15 minutes, 20 minutes. The A&R skims through his stuff, and then he's back on the plane going back home.
Yeah.
Not any more closer to a record deal than he was when he got on the plane in the first place. But just a lot of these artists don't work. They're looking for a shortcut. You know, they're looking for a quick fix. I get artists all the time in my inbox that's like, yo, you used to write for Double XL? Yo, you know, can you give me a feature? How much I got to pay you to get a feature? Like, yo, you don't jump to Double XL. That's not how it works. You don't come in off of SoundCloud and go to Double XL and get an article.
That's crazy.
You got to put in work. A lot of, you know, it's a misconception because a lot of these people don't realize that just because the artist is new to you, that artist has worked his entire life to get into the game. There's years and years of hard work. Just because you didn't hear about this guy, you know, his struggle days doesn't mean that he didn't have them. You know, a lot of these guys.
Go ahead.
A lot of these guys was like homeless and stuff. They Tiger, for instance. Tiger was homeless, sleeping in his car.
Wait. Tiger was homeless?
He was homeless. He was.
Lord have mercy. I did not even. Wow. What was that song that was in the summer?
Couch searching
You know the story that I like. I love the story of Migos. How Migos like literally went to all the clubs in Atlanta,
right?
With their tapes, and they be there at the beginning and shut it down and beg the DJ to play their stuff,
right?
And they finally got, you know, broke through. But, you know, I think, you know, what are some misconceptions that you think people have about how to make it in the music industry?
I think they think that all it takes is talent.
Mm.
And it's not about, you know, drive is a talent.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about how dope you are. It's about how business savvy you are.
Right.
You know, a lot of times when we see these artists that are not necessarily the most skilled or the most talented with these record deals, it's because these artists are putting in 1,000 times the work compared to the artists that think that just because you're nice or just because you're singing dope, you think you deserve to be in.
Right.
You know, even when you take a jerk kind of guy like Tekashi,
right?
Think about the amount of content that Tekashi put it out there. Think about the, I mean, I'm not co-signing what he did. I'm just saying
him, Cardi B, Mono Neon, who else can I
These think? People
these people put are in, always online posting new content.
Right. They put in work.
Right.
They put in the work, whereas a lot of people say, you know, I can sing or I can rap, I deserve it. You know, it's a lot of entitlement out there.
Yeah, that entitlement, I mean, I think you're right. I think that is definitely a misconception that people have, all because you can play skillfully. That does not...
Well, that's the thing. On a real level, like, let's just say something like singing. I could go to any black church on a Sunday. I could go to any black church on a Sunday and find somebody that is visibly marketable that can sing.
Right.
But can you show up to the studio on time?
Right.
Can you navigate your personal relationship and keep your man out of your business?
Right.
Can you handle your business without your man slowing you down?
That's a good one.
Compromising yourself.
Right.
I can tell you so many times. Yeah, I can tell you so many artists, especially female artists, especially
mm-hmm.
because women tend to be more willing to sacrifice things to maintain the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I can tell you, I know a lot of dope singers that, you know, they made some terrible choices because of relationships and stuff like that. So
like, I don't want to say any names, but Nivea.
Yeah, I mean,
she's basically, I don't know how come my sister couldn't got a nanny or something. But,
I mean, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, what I used to tell artists is this. You know, love is a beautiful thing. Love is a beautiful thing.
Right.
And if you choose to sacrifice your career in love for love, I mean, there's nothing. Love is something that I consider worth the sacrifice. If it is love.
Right.
If it is love.
Right.
But love doesn't require you to make those kind of, real love doesn't require you to make those kind of compromises.
Right.
You know, but yet, you know, there's plenty of examples of people who have, who've taken themselves out of the game. You know, I think, again, that's why I said that it takes more than talent.
Right.
It takes way more than talent. You got to put in the work. You got to be willing to, you know, I always tell my son that the guy you see flipping fries at McDonald's,
mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that wasn't his aspiration in life.
Right, right, right. That makes
but
a lot
somewhere, of- right, but somewhere along the way, he made choices and he made compromises, and that's why he's flipping the fries. Not saying that there's anything wrong with that, but there is something wrong with that if you aspire to be more.
Right, right.
You know, happy with that, there's more power to you. But if you're not happy with that, you know, that a lot of people think that they're entitled. They forget that there's, you know, there's a whole bunch of people trying to get into the industry.
Right.
There's a whole bunch of people who can sing. There's a whole bunch of people who can rap.
Right.
I could go outside and throw a rock and I might hit a rapper. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And, you know, the hip-hop is the biggest, most lucrative genre of music right now. It's selling the most. I mean, this is almost a $20 billion industry, the music industry, and hip-hop is definitely the king of the music industry. And so, you know, there's a lot of people vying for attention, but I think just like any type of business, whether it's a product or a service, you really have to figure out what your niche is, what your message is, and address that, know who your ideal customer is, and give them what resonates.
Right. But you have to be able to, you have to be able to be comfortable in your own skin.
Right.
I mean, this is just my belief. I believe that if you truly believe who you are, and you are at peace with your personal uniqueness. That sets you apart right there. Just being who you are sets you apart from other people.
Right.
And that creates your own lane. But, you know, so many people don't really understand marketing. They don't understand how it works. You know, there's only room for two major brands in any category. You know, you got Beyonce and you got Rihanna. Now, they're going to dominate the market. And if you try to be like them, you may catch 5 or 10%, but that's it.
Yeah, you got to be yourself.
Right, you got to be able to set yourself apart so that the people who rock with you, you know, I think that I've done that pretty well with Urban. Urban, I got my own base, I got my own support. Nope, you know, and I'm good with that.
Right,
I'm good with that. You know, if the labels choose to support Urban, that's cool, but I'm not looking for their financial support because I don't want to be under their thumb. I don't want to be controlled by them.
Right.
You want to have
editorial prerogative.
Right. I don't want I love the people at Atlantic. I do. But I don't want them telling me that I gotta put somebody like Tekashi on the cover of Urban or they're pulling their ass.
Oh yeah. That
you know what I'm saying? I don't want it.
Yeah. No.
You know, I wanna do good enough to pay, you know, take care of my bills and take care of my people.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so
I think the thing that is so like cringeworthy about Tekashi is that he appeals to the baser instincts of humanity. I mean, it's about really, you know, drug, sex, rock and roll, that whole like.
But that's because it's easy.
Yeah, it's easy, and I mean, it's like, wow. So I want to know from you, like, for an independent artist who's listening to this episode of the Jazz and Tech Lounge, what advice or encouragement would you give them in, you know, taking their career to the next level?
Well, I think they have to really come to terms with why they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing this because you're an artist, then I think that you should do it because you love what you're doing. If you're doing this as a way to just, you know, come up, then me personally, I don't really want to support that kind of artist.
Right.
I don't really want to rock with that kind of artist. That's not real to me. Back in the 80s, when breakdancing was a big thing.
Right.
It was a big thing. Guys like Crazy Legs from Rocksteady Crew out of New York City.
Uh-huh.
You know, those guys were breaking, you know, breakdancing. It was big. It was a big thing. And
right.
Then it went away. And then You Got Served came out. And then the breakdancing came back out again. And
right.
I remember seeing Crazy Legs speak at a Rocksteady event at Grand Central. And
uh-huh.
He was like, if you're a breakdancer, you didn't stop breakdancing just because it wasn't trendy anymore.
Right.
If you're a breakdancer, you did it because you loved it.
For the love of it, yeah, absolutely.
For the love of it. And I think that to really be successful, and success is how you define it, but I think to be successful in a real, genuine way, you got to do this stuff because you love it. You got to do it because, you know, because it's who you are. And I think that you got to really have that honest conversation with yourself as to what you're doing. And I love the entertainment industry. I love it. I would do it. If I was a millionaire, I would still do it because I love it. I love hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? I've loved hip hop since
I'm right there with you.
I mean, I love hip hop since I had heard Rapper's Delight when I was in the third.
Oh my God, that's a bomb record.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I love hip hop when it wasn't on radio. I love hip hop from the beginning. I lived it throughout my whole life.
I mean, I think hip hop, when you talk about, you know, next month is Black Music Month, and when you talk about hip hop, jazz, R&B, gospel, rock and roll, this is all Black music.
Right. You have to love it. And if you don't love it, you know, I think that you just really, because if you love it, then you will make the sacrifices that you need to make for it.
Right.
You know, a lot of these artists, they say they, oh, I want it. I want to go hard, but you want to wear Jordans. You ain't got money to hire a marketeer, but you got money for Jordans. You don't have money to invest in and hire a publicist, but you're flying, you're going out to Jamaica, you're going on cruises and stuff. Right. You don't really want it. You just want to act like you want it.
Right.
It's a hobby. And to me, you know, that's why you don't win, because it's a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going hard. Now, you know, when I wanted to write for the magazines and stuff, if I only had enough money to get back and forth to Queens, from Poughkeepsie to Queens, if I only had enough money to buy a beef patty and a Sprite,
uh-huh,
I was on that train.
I love beef patty.
Yeah, Cocoa Red.
A beef patty and a Sprite.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I don't drink soda anymore, but when I did drink soda, Sprite was good. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I went hard with it. That's why I'm very much unsympathetic when it comes to that, because I know what it's like to want to do something and have to make the sacrifices. You know, I always tell people, like, with even when it comes to relationships, you know, Urban Magazine is undefeated. Urban Magazine is undefeated in my life as far as my priority.
Right.
You know?
Anything
that comes, right.
You said a lot. I think, you know, we have a culture of relationships. You know, I grew up, you know, my parents are still married, and watching them pursue their careers and what they wanted to do, I see them pursuing their passion. They don't demand each other to make these big sacrifices. I don't know why there's so much insecurity and this demand. I think, you know, I'm on the same page with you. You know,
I cannot
in any relationship I am in, I'm not going to let my business take a second seat to it, because.
I always say that even when they have the six-figure, the women with the six-figure salary.
Uh-huh.
Listen, when you have to love me, that's what it comes down to. But I think there's a big misconception when it comes to relationships anyway.
Right.
Because, you know, like, let's say you take two spears. One spear is the person that you're dating. The other spear is yourself.
Right.
Now, where those two spears intersect, that's y'all. That's us. That's we. That's where we exist.
Right, right.
But you should not have to forfeit all the things that you are to be in a relationship. There's you, there's me, and there's just where we come together. That's us.
Right.
But you should still be allowed to be you, and I should still be allowed to be me.
Exactly.
And now, over time, that intersectionality is going to expand, you know, hopefully. It expands. But it expands in a respectful way where we all respect each other's boundaries.
Right. And we make that choice together to those comments.
Right. Right. You know, look at Stedman and look at Oprah.
Right.
Stedman is content with that intersectionality. He's not trying to run Oprah. He's good. He's good where he's at.
Well, I think if he tried to run Oprah, she'd be like, bye.
Yeah. I mean, Oprah could always find somebody that would share that spirit with her. I'm just saying, you know, but that's what's important.
Right.
I think that it's important that, you know,
mm-hmm.
I've warned with, you know, I let them know, women, I warned them. I'm like, yo, listen, when you're living your purpose, when you're living your dream and you're 100% dedicated, that's attractive. That's right. Attractive. And you're going to get a lot of attention from that.
Right.
But the hard part is maintaining your focus on what got you the attention in the first place.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, as a woman, I'm sure that you have girlfriends and stuff. You know how people get funny when they get a little new something in their life?
Oh, yeah, do I know? and I tell them about it. I'm not going to name no names, but
yeah.
It when it happens.
Yeah, it happens. And you're like, you know, you see the post because, you know, women say, hey, I'm living my best life. I'm happy. I'm doing my thing. Then all of a sudden, this guy shows up, and then it's, well, guess what happens? When you're successful and you're focused, you choose to allow that guy to come in and distract you like that. You choose to make those compromises that you don't even have to make because you lose yourself in that process. It's important. Right. If there was one thing that I would want the artist listening to this podcast to understand, is that you got to maintain your focus. You got to maintain your identity. You got to maintain your dedication. Because guess what? You can get a new man. You can get a new woman. But your dreams, you only got a small window of time. You know, you only got a small window of time for mainstream success. The odds of you being successful as an artist kind of diminish as you get older in this game.
Right.
You know, there's no new 40-year-old rappers. there's, you know, by the time you reach 40, you better have at least a gold record or something.
Right.
I'm just saying that you got to stay focused and you got to, my advice to the artist is, you got to be focused on who you are. Because all that other stuff comes, that stuff is going to come. You know?
Right. So I've been enjoying this conversation. So May is Mental Health Awareness Month. What are your thoughts about mental health in the music industry?
I think that it's very important I think self-care is very important. I think that it's important that we approach life and prioritize self-love and self-care.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people are out here looking for help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not looking for love. They're looking for help.
Right.
And I think that you should, before you can be a partner with someone else, you need to be whole within yourself.
Right.
You know, you need to prioritize that. I think mental health is important. It's understated in the Black community.
Right.
You know, a lot of us are redistributing pain. You know, a lot of us are bringing toxic things that we experience and inflicting that toxicity on others. I think it's important. I think it's a priority. It should be a priority.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, fortunately, you know, my sister has a master's degree in psychology. So, you know, I get that free.
Oh, you have a family shrink, so you could call her up and be like, sis, help
her. I mean, if she's going to psychoanalyze me anyway.
Right. Might as well just hear it from her, right?
Right. I'm about to call
the box with me.
Right. Since she's going to tell me how she feels anyway, I might as well just call her and get that.
Oh my goodness.
But I think it's important. I think it's important because no one, you can't be successful in this business alone.
Right, right.
There's no islands out here. Everybody, you know, everybody has been, you have to work with other people. You know, Diddy was helped with by Andre Harrell. Andre Harrell was put on by Russell Simmons. You mm-hmm. see what I'm saying?
Right.
There's connections out here where people, you know, I've been taking care of, right. I've been taking care of and looked out for, you know, I think that it's important, but it's important that we take care of ourselves as well.
Right.
To make sure that we're whole because this game is ugly. This game
it is. And you know what? Like I shared before, you know, managing disappointment is, I talked to my dad and, you know, when I get ripped off about X amount of dollars and then my dad comes back to me, he's like, if I would have got back every single loan I gave out and people didn't and would have paid me back, that's over, you know, X amount. And I'm, you know, that's perspective. It could be worse, you know.
Oh, no.
And dwelling on that disappointment, you got to just, you know, you got to bounce back. You got to just keep moving forward. And that's what I'm doing is moving forward.
Well, you know, the thing I've learned to accept, you know, in my, you know, later years is that people in life,
mm-hmm.
if you're useful, people are going to try to use you because you're useful.
Right.
If people don't try to use you because you're useless.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you got to expect, you know, what I always tell my clients and stuff is that you got to take the sugar with the shit. You got to. You got to take the sugar with the shit.
Well, speaking of sugar honey iced tea, how can people contact you? How can they, you know, find you and Urban Magazine online?
I'm on social media. I'm all over social media. Ben Original at Twitter, Instagram, Urban Magazine, one word, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I'm a little bit on Snapchat. My Snapchat game is not really strong. You know what I'm saying? Don't expect a lot of posts.
You know what? I don't know what it is about Snapchat, but I just couldn't get into it.
Well, it's creepy. It's a creepy space. Snapchat is for creeps.
I want to get on TikTok, but I'm so busy with clients.
My son told me I can't get on TikTok.
Oh, that's what your son said.
Yeah, my son told me, he said I'm too old. He said don't. He said it's bad enough that he got to share Instagram space and all this other stuff with me.
Okay.
He told me not to get on TikTok.
You know, my son has a fit when I show some mommy joy. If I get excited, start dancing or singing, he's like, nah.
Yeah, that's what my son does. My son says, he says, he's like, Dad, you're not allowed to do the Millie Rock. Don't be out here trying to do the Millie Rock. he's like, you two steps. That's it.
They don't understand.
You think more than that? You're doing too much, Dad. Listen, we were cool before they were born. That's how they got here.
Pretty much. So, yeah. That part.
Right.
That part.
I was like, yo, you wouldn't even know none of this stuff if it was.
Right. Well, it was my pleasure definitely chatting with you.
There you go. Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah.
I appreciate it so much.
Yeah, and I'm definitely gonna holler at you about that that feature. Few features.
All right.
I just want to get with you about my music. You know, this all podcast right. gets over 1 million downloads and streams a month.
Oh, that's what's up.
Yeah, this podcast is very, it's highly listened to. And thank you. Shout out to all my listeners. I appreciate you.
But thank you again for having me. I appreciate it so much.
All right. Thanks again.
This is David Spradley, and you're listening to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z.
Even coronavirus can't keep us apart because we love you so much. From all of us at Bashani Radio app, stay safe.
Stay safe.
Stay home.
Stay home.
And keep us blasting on your phones. Bashani Radio app, always talking about everything. Download us free in the App Store. Kaboom! You heard?